Off the Ball Daily.
A home for your favourite podcasts from Off the Ball.
I think part of the problem in America and with the American crowds is, like, there's no self-policing at all.
No.
Like, that's how crowds work.
Subscribe to the Off the Ball Daily podcast feed right now.
The Racing Pod
on Off the Ball
with William Hill. 18+. See gamblingcare.ie.
And you're welcome to episode 96 of The Racing Pod and Off the Ball with John Duggan and Johnny Ward. We're here every week, folks, with analysis, race previews, tips, stories, interviews, and all the crack you can get. Reminder, folks, the full Off the Ball Racing Pod is now free wherever you get your pods. So what more could you ask for? Johnny, how are you?
A winner or two, I suppose. Yeah, if we can find it. Even whether it's in the Arc, which is quite open, or throughout all the weekend. I'm in Killarney on Sunday, but I've been at Tipperary working for their Super Sunday day, and it's a great day to go to the races because you've, like, if you're watching, I've always said this about the authorities in Ireland, they treat people at the races as if the people at the races have an interest in other sports, so you'd be able to watch, like, if there's a good Gaelic match on, or even an English soccer game is probably going to be on a TV somewhere at the races. But at the races on Sunday, if you're in Tipperary or Killarney, if you're not lucky enough to be in Longchamp, you have all of these distractions between the races. One of the problems I have with racing is there's so little going on for much of the time between the races. But on Sunday, you have all of these distractions of all the Irish horses running in Longchamp, and good racing in Tipperary and Killarney as well.
I'm going on Monday to Killarney, so never been before.
I heard about that.
Yeah.
Hashtag danger here. You're going with a mutual friend of ours.
Yes.
So. First trip to Killarney.
Well, for the races, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, it's beautiful.
I've done the hospitality bit.
Yeah.
And Mucker's House and all that kind of stuff. But I'm looking forward to hopefully a dry day and a bit of sun and hopefully a winner or two.
Yeah.
We talk about the Arc there. Let's get into that, actually, Johnny. So 3:05 Sunday at Longchamp, possibly on the soft side of good, the ground, but yet to be determined. We'll have to see what the weather forecast is like in Paris. The Qatar Prix de l'Arc de Triomphe. 1 mile, 4 furlongs. This is the European Championship of flat racing. This is a really big deal. Aidan O'Brien's only won it twice with what Dylan Thomas and found. So bring it on. Minnie Hawk, the big hope for Ireland. She's the filly that's won the Cheshire, Epsom, Curragh and Yorkshire Oaks.
Yeah, I've probably been on about her for a while for this race, particularly when she was sort of 12 or 14 to 1. And William Hill was often actually top price on her for the race. And she does turn up. I actually feel now at 7-2, I don't think there's any value in her because if you read the comments from Aidan O'Brien after she ran, I think it was after she ran at York, and he was asked for plans between her and Whirl, who are closely matched 3-year-old fillies. He said, according to Ryan Moore, it'd be ground related. And basically the line was, we've always felt Minnie Hawk, even though she's won on soft, would be more effective on sort of top of the ground. Her only efforts really on easy ground was when she was beaten on yielding ground as a 2-year-old. And then she won a maiden on soft ground. But this season, she's won on good to soft at Epsom. Other than that, she's run on good ground. And the problem, I suppose, for Sunday is, and reading the race post this morning, we don't know what the ground is going to be like. So that's a factor. And I honestly wouldn't be advising anyone to have a bet on the Arc right now. I'd wait till Sunday to have a better idea what the ground is
like.
What
about the draw? How much is that a factor? Low draws, because it's right-handed track. Are they always much more favoured?
Yeah, but you see, you can overplay this as well, because if you're drawn low and you're on a hold-up horse, you can end up 18th of 18, even though you're drawn low, because if you're on a hold-up horse, sometimes there's a cue for the rail, and if the rail is gone, you need a bit of jockey craft. Like, it'll be hard for horses to win from a high draw, but not impossible. And it's really more about how the jockey negotiates that problem in the opening stages. It's a really, really open renewal of the race. We've Japanese runners, we've French runners, Irish runners. Not a particularly strong British challenge at all, but the Irish challenge is strong, and I do feel there's more to it than Minnie Hawk, even though she was my long-term idea of the winner of the race. I think I'd be worried about the ground now.
So could you narrow it down to 3?
No.
Out of the 17? No,
definitely not. No, I remember one time...
Could you narrow it down to 10?
I remember one day in the Racing Post, and never ever will I make this mistake again, I was doing the spotlight for a race. It was a handicap at the Curragh. And I said, we can, with a degree of comfort, narrow this down to 4, right? None of them was placed. So I was like, I'm never doing that again. I'm never doing that again. White Birch is my selection at the prices. I was talking to George Murphy on Instagram this morning, just his trainer's son. And he likes the idea of the mile and a half for him.
40-1 with William Hill, White Birch. 40-1.
Four places, yeah. I put him up in the Champion Stakes. I actually was a bit disappointed in him at Leopardstown, but it probably wasn't a bad run in a race that I would say wasn't ideally run for him. And it, given his consistency, the key for him on Sunday would be that there will definitely be ease in the ground. The likes have beaten August Rodin by 3 lengths.
But he's never won over 12 furlongs.
No, he's had 3 goes at it. At those, like when he ran the Irish Derby, he didn't run at all. When he ran his first go at a mile and a half in the Epsom Derby, when he definitely looked like he got home that day. And his other run over a mile and a half wasn't bad. And I just feel at the prices, he's feasible. I feel it's very, very open. We're going to need look and run, and the ground is a quandary. So if I'm narrowing it down to one, I'm going with the long shot at the moment. I think he's definitely capable of getting involved.
Anything else you like in the race that Mini you respect?
Hawk Mini Hawk, as a 3-year-old filly, has a lot going for her. You get the allowances. She has won on good to soft. If it's good to soft ground, I think she's a favourite chance because...
She'll be backed as well.
Yeah, and she's the horse that has been still hard to get a handle on. She's a filly by Frankel who doesn't seem to win by very far. And Aidan O'Brien has even talked about the Dan Silly in her, that she has that kind of a bit of an edge to her. And she, for me, she's perfect for this race. So just will be a bit of a worry about the ground. Adventure, one of the local runners, beat Jezora the last day, second to Calandagan previously, and looks like a horse will now kind of appreciate the big field. Even Los Angeles was third in the race last year.
Is this horse lacking tactical speed, though,
yeah,
Los Angeles?
He probably is, but he was third in the race last year, and he's wearing cheekpieces for the first time. Now, maybe at this stage of his life...
He's 33-1.
Yeah, he's again...
Won
an Irish Derby, will handle the ground. He lacks tactical speed, you're right, but if this were on good to firm, I wouldn't be going near him, but he just might stay on well enough in the cheekpieces. And as much as he's been a little bit disappointing this year, he's kind of running his race. Of some of the others, to be honest, even Jessica Harrington's horse, who's hot as hell, I wouldn't be totally discounting him.
He was 100-1 shot.
Yeah, he was fourth to Delacroix in the Champion Stakes, but he actually beat Delacroix on soft ground in the Virtue and Futurity, which used to be the Racing Boss Trophy. So that brings him somewhat into it if he gets the mile and a half.
Yes, if he stays. I'm going for Aventure. Look, I think this horse is drifting. This horse could be maybe 6-1 on the day, and I think it'd be a rock solid each way, bet to nothing. She was second in this race as a 3-year-old last year. The trainer says she's stronger as a 4-year-old now. She had the best final split in the race last year. She won the Group 1 Prix Vermeil for her sex last time out over course and distance. I think she's got a very solid each way claim. I think she's rock solid. And of the others, you got the Japanese horses, I suppose. Like Oisin Murphy is drawn wide on by Zantine Dream, who won the Prix Foy over the course and distance last time out. But does that horse want quicker ground? You also have, what, Croix du Nord for the Japanese. I came to Longchamp and nearly was fully not wound up and won over, what, 10 furlongs last time? Hard to gauge. You have Alohi Ali is a massive improver recently. Won a Deauville in August. A Japanese trained horse has never won the race. The one outsider I liked, if we're picking outsiders, was... Leffard, the 3-year-old course and distance winner in the Grand Prix de Paris at Group 1 in July. That followed a flop in the French Derby. Then it was only 6 in the Prix Niel. So that horse has been in and out. But on its best form, at what a price of 33-1, Leffard could be the one for a euro each way. But I'm going for Aventure. Sometimes the question and the answer is obvious, and it could be that Aventure is an obvious one for me. I think Aventure. And there is also a Godolphin horse in there, which is interesting. Kulifikar, if that's the way to pronounce it.
Yeah, he's quite solid as well. He got out of a pocket the last day to win at Longchamp when he beat Bay City Roller. And being by Luke de Vega, it's no surprise that he handles ground. He was actually second in the French Derby to Camille Pissarro early in the season. And as you say, I suppose the only negative with Aventure is her price. Like, she's not skinny enough, 4-1. She was second in the race last year, JD. As much as I was sort of saying Los Angeles definitely has a chance.
It was bad ground. Like,
it was bad ground, and Saucy was fourth in as well, obviously. So some of these horses coming back for more. Shane Emperor and Alrifa were 11th and 12th. I think there were a lot of disappointments in the race last year. It was really disappointing. Shane Emperor, Blue Stocking won it, who probably wouldn't be a superstar in her own right. So that would be the concern, but like she's definitely been laid out for this race, and... You could just make a case for so many of them.
Yes.
Kalpana, Definitely interesting. She was a bit disappointing behind Giovolato, who again reopposes at Kempton on the all weather the last day, but she goes well on soft ground from last year's winning connections.
Like Sozy was favourite for the race last year, Andre Faba Master at the Training of the Arc winners, and a course and distance winner, second in a trial, but was well beaten in the Eclipse, so that's maybe a negative for that horse's chance. What else do we have in here? Darius once again ran poorly in the Judmont. Is that a negative? Gazora is a three-year-old filly who took to the Prix de Diane. A course winner was second to Aventure in the Prix Vermeil. Can't be ruled out as an improver. Yeah, it is difficult. It is difficult going through them all here. Like Quizizana, soft ground, no issue for that filly. And she's a distance winner. She's been running in filly's races over 10. Winning a Group 1 last time, much tougher, but she's not out of it. She's got a small each-way chance. But yeah, Lefar each-way at 33s and my main selection, Aventure 9-2. You're going for White Birch 40s.
Yeah, I've been on my Mini Hawk for a few months now, but as I say, just as
that happen, like going off it, I mean, would you not be kicking yourself if it does win on
no,
Sunday?
It's just that the price is like, I'd be definitely waiting for Sunday. The Mini Hawk would be 6-1. And bear in mind, you can play on the tote prices over there as well. Like if, particularly with Japanese horses involved in the Whirlpool, that can influence the market. I would say if you back, and you know it goes against any sensible betting advice to back into a pool when you obviously don't know what price you're getting. But if you can see what price Mini Hawk is closely off, just be ready if you want to have a bet in this race. Be ready for the ground description on Sunday, and also be ready for potentially betting on the Whirlpool, because the Far East is a different ball game with the Japanese runners. I mean, Deep Impact in this race made it the most kind of warped and mad market ever when Railink won it, and we have seen that before. And it's you can definitely on the tote you can get complete. They don't know what's going on the betting exchanges. They don't know what the market's like. So
you know, Ryan Moore, obviously Christophe Soumillon on Mini Hawk, and we've seen with the way McCann wrote See the Stars in this, and Frankie Dettori was a multiple winner of this race. I mean, the jockey is very important. Oisin Murphy, for example, riding, you know, you have a lot of good for jockeys in this.
Yeah, and in fairness, I was talking about Christophe Soumillon coming over to the Irish Champions Festival in the sense that, you know, it wasn't necessarily definitely going to work out for him, but there are different tracks, but he rides Longchamp every day of the week.
Yeah.
And he's a
like massive. You got Dylan Brown on White Birch.
Yeah.
Big day for him.
Big style, yeah. Dylan Brown's like actually gotten a real battle on now for trying to win the Jockeys' Championship here with Colin Keane is definitely not, hasn't gone away, you know, and White Birch. Dylan Brown rode him at Leopardstown the last day when I tipped him up in the race. I was probably a bit more disappointed at the time than I am looking back on it. He just lacked a gear, but it was his first run since May, and he just might come on from that, and definitely the softer ground will help him.
So we also have Colin Keane on Kalpana because he's now riding for the Judmont colours. So the Arc de Triomphe, 3:05 on Sunday at Longchamp. Folks, we have news for you because the sponsors of this podcast, William Hill, are incentivizing the grassroots of the sport by supporting a new jumps racing series for the smaller yards in the game. The William Hill Each Way Extra Challenge series will encompass 50 races at 28 meetings across 13 Irish tracks in the 2025-26 national hunt season with a prize fund of €135,000. So the series will see points allocated per qualifying race to trainers and jockeys from 1st to 7th in the races, with an overall table to decide the prize winners next April. Any trainer is eligible to run horses in these races, but the trainer prize fund is limited to trainers with fewer than 50 winners in the last two seasons in either code. The winning trainer will receive €50,000, prizes down to 10th place, €100,000 in the prize pool for trainers. The top three riders and stable staff will receive €10,000, €5,000 and €2,500 respectively. Any rider who rides for a qualifying trainer will have bonus points allocated. There are no points restrictions for stable staff from yards which do not qualify for bonus points under the initiative, like the top yards. The series has been supported by the Irish Racehorse Trainers Association, the Irish Jockeys Association and the Irish Stable Staff Association. It starts today as we record this on Friday at Goran Park, and there's two races on Saturday which we'll look into now. Johnny, not only is this a financial incentive for smaller yards trying to make it pay, it'll also give more airtime to some of the races and race courses that find it sometimes hard to get into the spotlight.
Yeah, the one thing that needs to be said here is that as much as William Hill is sponsoring this podcast, so we're obviously not going to say bad things about William Hill, but William Hill is actually committing to racing here. And if you go onto any website today, that any bookmaking website, what percentage of their turnover now or their markets are horse racing? It's getting smaller and smaller because everyone, Build-A-Bet is the thing that they want you to go watching the match tonight, and they want you to have like bets on who gets the first goal, and bookmakers want people betting on stuff that doesn't involve odds compilers, because that's the way things are going. It's like, you know, video kill the radio star. Like, basically, technology has moved us all away from the high street, and racing's in a position where I do feel that bookmakers need to give it some love, and this is a lot of it's about that. I think William Hill, this is a good opportunity for William Hill to get its name out for all of these race titles, and it's also a goodwill thing, because this is, it's almost like you might remember HRI were proposing this racing series for the what would have been all trainers bar what would have been the top four in the National Hunt game, to encourage races for everyone bar the top four, which would have been Cromwell, Henry de Bromhead, Gordon Elliott and Willie Mullins. There was definitely a bite back from the Irish Racehorse Trainers Association from that.
Is this the same thing with them involved still? In a way,
it's the same kind of philosophy, I think, but it's not as detrimental to the top trainers. Like I would imagine I haven't been speaking to them, but I imagine they're in favour of this. Phelim Cunningham has been a big fan of this. He's over the Trainers Association now, and he would have been involved in this. And they've gotten a lot of kind of plus points here, in the sense that the stable staff are incentivized, the trainers incentivized, and it's also kind of just something that will fit in nicely into the program in a completely different series of races over the 50. But I do want to, you know, give credit to the bookmaker here, because it's very easy for betting companies now to move away from racing, and we see a lot of worrying signs in that regard, that we shouldn't be just banking on racing being, you know, but I've made this point before. Back in the day, bookmakers, not a hope could they survive without racing. It's not like that now. They could absolutely survive without racing. So racing needs to promote itself, and I think this is a great incentive, and William Hill gets its name on 50 races as well, which is a good thing for the company.
Yes, they've got two races they're sponsoring at Goran Park on Saturday. So the 155, the yielding ground at Goran Park at the moment, but that could change obviously with the weather. But a 3-year-old maiden hurdle over 2 miles, the first race.
It is 120 actually. There's been maybe a change in this. Okay. Is the first, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Right, so that's the William Hill.
The 3-year-old hurdle.
Yeah, each way extra challenge series. And then the race later in the day is a handicap chase over 2.5 miles at Goran Park on Saturday. So two races there, which we'll get into in a moment. And just the big race, I suppose, at Goran Park on Saturday, the PWC Champion Chase. That is a grade 2, 2.5 miles. Blood Destiny, Afferdale Fury, Monbeg Park, Rebel Gold and Western Foal, Johnny, in this one.
Yeah, betting is hard when your price is gone on a horse you fancy on the one level, but on the other level you want to see some sort of clarity in this market, because I'd be very much against the top two in the betting. Western Fold, Gordon Elliott has basically said
it's the Galway Plate winner.
Galway Plate winner. He said good ground is the key to him. He's not going to get good ground here. Now he has form on soft. It's just nowhere near the form he's shown in the Connacht National, even in the Tipperary Maiden he won. And Galway, all on summer ground. He's not going to get that. It's yielding soft in Gorn. I think it was actually soft this morning with more rain coming. So I imagine it'll be soft. Blood Destiny is a horse I've sort of followed, because the first day I saw him jumping, I was really taken by how good he is at his fences. For me, he's always vulnerable over 2.5 miles, over testing 2.5 miles. So I'm keen to take the two of them on. He also has top weight. He's given weight to Everton. He was readily brushed aside at Galway when he didn't get home. So that brings us to Afferdale Fury, who is at the moment sevens with William Hill. Now, William Hill actually priced this horse. I imagine William Hill was first here. Priced the horse fairly short. Other bookmakers have gone up and made him 9-1. So the price has gone out a bit. If he runs to his best, he's a massive chance here.
I fancy him as well.
Yeah. Now, the problem, JD, is he has run once since November 2023.
And he ran well after 438 really days. Well. And if he can do it again,
even that run the last day might be good enough. And my concern is why haven't we seen him again since
second at Cheltenham in a grade one and a 3-mile hurdle before.
His hurdles form is very, very good. I remember him running very well, a punch down behind Gaelic Warrior. I think we might have watched that race together, actually. But he has so much going for him. And the
is
way
he your selection?
He absolutely is my selection. I'm very keen to take on the top two. Monbeg Park, he's with rookie trainer Jack Foley.
Okay.
Again, if he bounced back, he'd have a big chance. But there are lots of doubts. I'd be very keen to take on the top two.
Afridale Fury, our selection, the pair of us in the PWC Champion Chase, 4:15 at Goran Park on Saturday. Remember, the two William Hill races, the Each Way Extra Challenge series. So we have at 1:20, that's the opening race, which is a three-year-old maiden hurdle. And then at 4:50 on Saturday, we have a handicap chase over 2.5 miles. Let's get into these races then, Johnny, these two William Hill races. So the maiden hurdle, the first race in the card at 1:20. Look, I think there's three here I'm looking at. What's New, Bibamus and Combs. So Bibamus, if that's the right way to say it, Ross O'Sullivan, training for the Double Green. That's an unusual connection. Won a flat race in Soft in France over 10 furlongs. No impression in two Irish handicaps. Combs is now with Gordon Elliott and in the Flax and Flair colours. Second on a hurdling debut, Dan Royal at the end of August. Won a Tipperary maiden over 1.5 miles in the flat earlier this year. And what's new, Fela Killarney, when looking like a second place finisher, then second again at Listowel last time out over hurdles, when not jumping too well, won a flat race at Roscommon in between. They were the three that clearly stood out to me in this one.
Yeah, Simon Maneer and Isaac Swade have jumped horses this season with Willie Mullins, Henry de Bromhead, Joseph O'Brien, Stuart Crawford, and now Ross O'Sullivan. And this might be, yeah, this might be Ross's first jumps horse for the operation. And he looks absolutely the type for this game, but three-year-old hurdles are risky betting propositions. Like, I've actually noticed in recent years, I it might be me, but I think the three-year-olds are jumping better than they used to. I think they're more professionally trained, maybe, or whatever it is about the way they're trained now. They're not as erratic at the, you know, early on in their career, and this is still fairly early in the season. This is a risky race we get involved in, though. What's New, JD? Couldn't have this horse at 11-8.
What I do like about it is the fact that they're doing the series, and now you have prices.
Oh, yeah,
so that's great.
There's going to be some great value. Maybe there isn't this race. I went through this race quite a lot. I tipped up What's New at Listowel the last day. I actually thought he was a bit disappointing. He finished second. He had no excuses behind a relatively unexposed horse. But he jumped left on occasions, right, as in the race card. So that's a worry going to Goran. So look, some of the other horses, I can't back Beavis Muse first time out. He never jumped a hurdle before and was very disappointing ultimately at Killarney in a fairly soft Premier Handicap the last day. I tip Combs as Down Royal because I tipped Cinnamon Cocoa the day before when I thought he jumped terribly. And of course, I tipped Combs to beat him at Down Royal, and then Cinnamon Cocoa put it all together and smashed him. I'm not sure about Combs on proper soft ground, but he would be respected. Right, I'm going to go with Crooked Path here, 25-1. So just bear with me on this. He showed enough when he was actually fourth to a horse by the name of Combs at Tipperary in a maiden to suggest that he'd definitely be a three-year-old hurdler. He didn't run badly at all at the Galway Festival on soft ground off a rating of 69. And when he ran at Listowel the last day behind What's New, he wasn't really knocked about. He was 12-1 and he should be capable of much better. And we were talking about the arc. His sire Walgeist reveled in the mud in the arc, and the dam handled soft as well. So he's almost a horse you'd want to see a bit of money for. You know, the Dennis Hogan yard, they're quite shrewd. If he's still 25-1 around post time, I'd be worried. I'd nearly need to see a few quid for him, but he is interesting.
Daniel King rides him. Then the other William Hill race, 4:50 on Saturday, the handicap chase, 2.5 miles. I mean, you've got the two I picked out of it. Noble Talent, course and distance winner in November last year. Danny Mullins on board, and he resumes on board. Danny, always a good jockey to have in these races. If he's primed, I think he's got an each way squeak. He's about 10-1 last night when I was looking. And then Secrecies of Stone, the bottom horse, an interesting runner off 10-8. If he's fish and Matt Sharp, I mean, he won at Leopardstown on his penultimate start in the spring, then fell when contending at Ferry House. The ground is no issue. He's got an each way chance there. The two I picked out. We have horses that we've seen before, like A Wave of the Sea. Boston Rover is a young upcoming horse for Gordon Elliott. Grange Walk, on the other hand, a 10-year-old now, is a course winner. But Noble Talent and Secrecies of Stone each way for me.
Yeah, Secrecies of Stone, presumably named in honour of kind of Patrick Kavanagh and some of his lovely lyrics in Raglan Road. And Noble Talent, of course, named after yourself, JD, but the 10th one is gone. It was gone.
Well, Dan McDonald called me a blue blood last week, so
blue
I don't know where that came from.
Blue blooded Noble Talent, and he's my selection as well, for what it's worth.
Oh.
He won at Goran, as you mentioned, Thought he was very good that day. He beat Bruce Jack, Ballycashin, Individualist, The Great Unknown, and Tell Nobody Nothing. I do remember thinking that day, that was a proper, proper hot race. Now, he didn't really go on from that. That was a bit of a concern. But basically, the horses I fancy in this race in general, they haven't run in at least 150 days, the horses I'd be kind of looking at. So you can't back a horse off a break like that and be confident. But I'm taking a chance on Noble Talent because he's well capable of 116 for Tom Nagle.
He goes 17 to 2. And I was looking at the prices here. Wave of the Sea not quoted at the moment, so I don't know if there's an issue there in terms of his participation in the race. We have as well at Saturday the Sun Chariot Stakes at Newmarket. Good to firm ground. But once again, there's lots of rain around these islands. At 2:40, 1 mile Group 1 race with 10 runners. So like a big race this. Look, Fallen Angel won the Irish Guineas last year. She comes here after winning the Matron Stakes at Leopardstown. Thought she was, she did dig deep with a fine attitude. But she did disappoint it in the Guineas at Newmarket last year. So that's at the back of my head. Cinderella's Dream is a four-year-old. She won the Falmouth Stakes, the Group 1, on the July course at Newmarket this year, having won at Maidan and in America as well. So softer conditions and unknown for this type, Cinderella's Dream and Fallen Angel. I mean, they set the standard. Lady of Spain is very interesting. 5 out of 5 in the flat, won a Group 3 at Sandown on her first run of the year on soft over the distance in August. Could be a decent each way bet to nothing. Lady of Spain, that's the one I highlighted.
Who would have thought when she was winning a handicap in Southall on the all-weather in November of 84 that she'd be coming here still unbeaten and in with the chance. She's by Phoenix of Spain, who's in the national stud, and two of her flag bearers are in this race. The other one is Atzilla, who I'm kind of intrigued by, but she's just come in the bet now. She's 10-1, so it's kind of hard to say she's value at that. But she was third Fallen Angel at 25s in the Matron in the first time tongue tie. She's a horse I've tipped up before. That was a race in which I tipped January, who was very, very disappointing. She's interesting as well. It's kind of funny you talk about odds. Like, why was Fallen Angel 11-1 to beat January in that race in Deauville? It just doesn't make sense in hindsight. And she went off favourite then in Leopardstown when she comprehensively confirmed that form, and she was very straightforward on the day. Not a race for me to have a bet in necessarily, but I'd be with Atzilla hoping for a slightly bigger price. Blue Bolt as well definitely comes into it under Colin Keane, second to Lady of Spain last time.
Bit of money for Sparks Fly right down the bottom into 33-1. Sparks Fly definitely has got class questions to answer. Like Fallen Angel, when I was looking last night, was drifting and now it's come back in to 5-2. So that is interesting. Well, I think they're obviously anticipating rain, aren't they? That's what they must be doing.
Yeah. And that's a lot. I mean, I wouldn't, well, the overnight markets, I wouldn't be treating too seriously, but Sparks Fly would love a bit of rain anyway.
The Cumberland Lodge Stakes at Ascot on Saturday is at what, 225? Just looking through here. Hamish, he's an old standing dish, isn't he? Al Karim.
Going to win it for the third time in a row.
Yeah, so Hamish 7-4, 13-8, 2-1 with William Hill, actually. Al Karim, you get 9-4. Tenability, money for that into fives. Military Academy fives and Sir Dinadan eights. So one of these races where you can't actually rule anything out.
Yeah, you'd nearly think an Irish horse to look at a race like this, like 50 grand mile and a half race and to have a winner at Ascot. But maybe they think that it's too competitive. But Al Karim is just hard to knock. He was third to Al Riffa in the Irish Ledger. Al Riffa might be a bit of a staying superstar yet, JD. There was nothing wrong with that run.
Melbourne Cup bound,
yeah. Joseph loves winning that race with three-year-olds as well, even though he's not a three-year-old, but he won it with Rewilding. Melbourne Cup has never done it for me at all, but I can see why Irish trainers really
don't like the Melbourne Cup. I don't like what's been done the last 10 years with the race. They're making it very difficult for horses to enter from overseas.
They are.
Whereas it should be surely the opposite, that it should be welcoming horses from around the world. And if they're good enough to beat the Australian horses, then the Australian racing industry needs to get with the program and get better horses.
100%.
Be my view on that.
Al Karim is my selection anyway. He's basically a horse who's so straightforward. Even though he's won, the last couple of wins were on good to firm, like smashed Absurd and Samui in the two races in York earlier in the year. He's very effective, as many autads are, on an ease in the ground. Even though he mightn't get it, he doesn't need an uncontested lead. He's just rock solid and he should be banged there from the front.
That said, if I had time off, I wouldn't mind going to the Melbourne Cup, because you know it's the first Tuesday in November and you know that the Japan Cup is the last Sunday in November in Tokyo. So if you're able to get maybe 5 or 6 weeks, because you wouldn't really want to be going down and coming back. and going down again.
These are first world problems. They're first world problems.
Because I was watching the AFL Grand Final last week, which had Irish players in it, Geelong and Brisbane. And you're thinking, okay, well, that's the end of September, because that's always the last Saturday in September. It's amazing that they have, and the like, it's like the Longchamp is always the first Sunday of October, which it is this weekend.
It's obviously the Southern Hemisphere different with their seasons and all that, but it'd be fairly expensive now if you want to go to the Melbourne Cup and then stay partying until
you the end off of to the Tokyo.
Month in Tokyo. So you'd want to get that sponsored, I'd say. Yeah. And bring me with you.
Yeah. The Ben Gough Stakes, is it? The Group 3 6 furlong race here is the 3 o'clock at Ascot on Saturday. Prince of India, the favourite, fours with William Hill. Elman Jet is in there. Apollo 1, who seems to be knocking on the door quite a bit. Anaf, Kino, who's got a bit of money first, 15 to 2 now. Salandine, 11 to 1.
Probably a race at the bookmakers.
Run by Run, that was the Argo Cup winner, wasn't it?
Yeah, the Apollo 1 won this race last year and Anaf won it in 2023 and they're beside each other in the race cards and definite chances. You could probably ask him, why is Anaf such a short price given, you know, his form figures this season, but he's been basically running in hot handicaps or group ones and now he comes back for a more feasible option. Elman Jed, top price, 5, William Hill, 4 places. I think he's progressive enough to win this. He's apart from his run, he was disappointing in the Stewards Cup, but apart from that, he's been very consistent. Jim Crowley used to ride him. Obviously, Jim is facing a big battle to get back now after that horror incident, the injury he had. But Kieran Fallon rode him confidently at York last time, and good race. It's like for a Group 3, it's a very, very good sprint.
That's at Ascot on Saturday. The Arc de Triomphe, would you grown up watching it? Because I know you talk about the Champion Stakes. I mean, like, 1920 was the first running of it, actually on a Sunday, in the first Sunday in October, so there is very much tradition. But it wasn't until 1958 that we had an Irish winner, Ballymoss for Vincent O'Brien.
I've actually been to the Arc 3 or 4 times, maybe. Yeah, so it's probably,
so what's it like? What's the experience like?
It's brilliant. Like, I love France, and I mean, I think the first time I was at the Arc was like €6 in. They're really competitive prices compared to, say, like, racing in the States or in England. It's gone up now. It might be £20, but it was still very competitive. But I've been to Longchamp and Chanty for Chanty was, let me think.
Well, Found one there.
Was it Founds? I'm trying to think now, but I was kind of working at it, so maybe my mind was slightly elsewhere.
Is there room to move around? And
the question is whether you have champagne or beer, you know, and it's okay. That is expensive, but the champagne tent and the owners and trainers area in general, it's a bit of a party with a kind of a fringe twist, and you see a lot of Irish over there. You don't associate Irish racing fans with the flat. But Paris is definitely a thing because you can go, obviously, it's a really good racing on Saturday if you want to, but you get a weekend in Paris. So you either go to the, eat out, dine out, go to the nice wine bars or go to the Irish bars. James Joyce is the famous one. And then you inevitably have an Irish fancy in the Arc and you have like a well-fancied 2-year-old here or there. And it's not that expensive really for a racing weekend away.
What about the viewing vantage point?
Fine. Like, I don't think I've been to Longchamp now since they did up the track. There was the issue with the sprint in the middle of the track, but no, it's fine. It's no problem with that.
Easy to get to.
Yeah, I think it's
kind of on the west side of the city.
Ride. Yeah, I think it's a taxi ride. But taxis aren't crazy expensive over there. I remember us one of the first days I went, like, we'd lost our money anyway. We couldn't back a winner. And we met a guy who owned a horse that Tony Martin trained, who was one that was running at Dundalk on the Sunday. And we were watching it like on our phones on 4G, and it just went completely blank. And I remember on the betting exchanges, he'd pretty much gone out to 100 to 1. And we were frantically waiting for it to refresh, and the last price match was 101. He got up on the line, a horse called Tiazzi, and we were like, we've come all the way to France the whole weekend to get out of jail on a 0-60 at Dundalk. And I'm still in contact with the owner. I've stayed in contact with him ever since. It's funny how you remember these things. We couldn't back a winner for love nor money. But we met this lad in the James Joyce who told us to back his horse in Dundalk, and he got up on the line. So there's a winner in Tipperary in Killarney if you're stuck on Sunday as well.
Yeah, well, we'll be hoping for that. So we have lots to go through. I was just going through the, you know, the arc that I remember watching. I mean, Sindar was a big one in 2000. Johnny Mercer riding for John Oxen. John Oxen, See the Stars, was what, 2009?
Dylan Thomas would have
been. Dylan Thomas, Kieran. I mean, he was a four-year-old. Like, didn't necessarily light up his three-year-old career. But then, I mean, if I'm thinking about Aidan O'Brien and the arc, I'm not thinking about Dylan Thomas and Found. I'm maybe thinking of Galileo, or I'm thinking of other horses. So it's interesting that they're going with an Oaks winner here for the arc this weekend, as opposed to...
The three-year-old filly's allowance is huge. He had the 1-2-3 in the race when Found won it. But one of the first arcs I was at, possibly the first one, was Zarkava, and she was a three-year-old filly when she won it. You get the allowances. Fair to say the middle distance division on the colt side in Ireland and Britain has not been strong this year. We've a totally unmemorable Derby winner in Ireland and Britain, I would argue. And I feel she and Pearl have kind of been the more sexy kind of horses of the year, maybe, so far.
We had Mark Prescott winning a couple of years ago. Well, Alpinista, that was a memorable win for Mark Prescott. What does it mean to, like, train or have the winner of this race in terms of, like, your breeding operation? How vital is it?
Like, an arc winner, where
would it, like, rank, like, near the Derby?
Oh, like, way, way better, because there's far more depth to it. And obviously, you're taking on everything. Older horses, horses that are stepping up in trip, horses from Japan. Like, the Derby, this year's Derby was, I mean... Delacroix and Aidan's other horse was the Line in Winter, like, flopped. So the race became a glorified Group 3, really. And the Derby, and the other thing, JD, is the Derby doesn't make a stallion at all nowadays, necessarily. But the Arc, the winner of this, like, if Los Angeles wins this race, he's not going to be going to stud for any sort of big price, probably a National Hunt sire. It doesn't necessarily make a superstar stallion, but in terms of the prestige, it's everything, this race.
Yes, absolutely. The Arc de Triomphe. We have Sam Norris and William Hill on the line. How are you, Sam?
Very good, chaps. Yeah, yourself?
Not too bad, thanks, Sam. What is the money situation for the Arc at Longchamp on Sunday?
Yeah, fascinating renewal, really. Maybe not a completely vintage renewal, but it has led to a really wide open betting heat, which is good. Mini Hawk, our favourite, 130. You know, obviously the record of 3-year-old fillies in the race is much discussed, although 9 of the last 12 are actually aged 4 or 5. So this may be overplayed a little bit, that angle, but she's been the outstanding 3-year-old filly this year, deserves her place at the top of the betting. Aventure, last season's runner-up, is second in at 9-2. Some of the Japanese horses are on the drift, a couple of them not been given a great draw, and the softer the ground gets, the more you'd think that will inconvenience them. The last 24 hours, the money horse has been Sozy, who's 12-1 into... 8-1. Obviously, Maxime Guillon has selected Aventure to ride. Sozy was fourth in the race last year, but has been cash around for that one. And a little nibble on the horse I like, which is Quisisana, who goes on any ground. Don't have to worry about that with this horse. He's the right age, as mentioned earlier on. Got a good draw. Group 1 winner this year, won the pre-Roman A. And has also seen a little bit of support, 28s to 25s. We're paying 4 places as standard here at William Hill. There's a 5-place market to dabble into as well. I think Quisiana's worth a look at a big price, 25-1. But Sozy, very much the money horse the last day or so.
We also have your new series that you're doing in Ireland, the William Hill Each Way Extra Challenge series, with all these races, the 50 races over the National Hunt season, Sam. So I'm already seeing that you got prices up for the Maiden Hurdle at 120 Goran Park on Saturday, and then the Handicap Chase 2.5 miles at 450 at Goran Park on Saturday. You're leaving yourselves exposed to the big hitters coming in like Johnny Ward and changing the market, Sam.
Yeah, the lads are absolutely thrilled when I tell them that on Arc Weekend, they've got to price up an Irish 3-year-old maiden hurdle for us.
I don't think they've done a bad job at all, actually.
Yeah, well, hopefully we'll see. We'll see when other firms throw up their prices and see if, as you say, anybody moves in. I think we may be helped by the fact that What's New does appear to have the standout form in the race with that second at Listowel. So you make him favourite and then work the rest of the race around him, I guess. He's 11-8. B-Bay Muse for Rosso Sullivan, JJ Sledden in the Simon Manier Isaac Suede colours is a bit of a guess. He's rated £30 superior to What's New on the flat, but it is the hurdling debut. Just got to keep him safe. Not sure what we'll get from him. I did kind of think Combs had a bit of a chance at 9-2 for Gordon Elliott and Jack Kennedy. It looked like he bumped into one of Dan Royal last time around, and that race has spat out a winner subsequently. So, yeah, we wait with bated breath to see if we have got these in the right order. But I think the way What's New finished at Listowel a fortnight ago, he's probably got to be favourite, unless they really think this Bibe Meuse is very good.
This Grade 2 champion chase, Sam at Goran Park on Saturday, it seems like Blood Destiny and Western Fold are pretty weak.
Yeah, there is no love for either of them, really. Both 11 to 8 in the betting. I've got to say, and there's a good reason why they don't let me near the prices. We'd go to Rack and Ruin if we did. I would have Western Fold so far clear of Blood Destiny in the betting for this one. The fact that they're side by side, I think, means that Western Fold is a good price, good winner of the Galway Plate. I know Jesse Evans got turned over at odds on in a little race at Sligo the other day to knock the form a little bit, but Blood Destiny is so unreliable. I mean, I wouldn't back this horse with your money.
That's very unfair, Sam.
The odds on defeat last time around. Been a beaten Fav so many times in his career, Blood Destiny. He's just completely untrustworthy.
I'm going to have to stop you there, right? Potato, potato, potato and all of that. In terms of a horse that's unreliable, right? He has run 15 times in his career, JD. 15 times. He's been first 5 times, second 5 times, third 3 times. And he may have had an unseen. So he's basically one of the most consistent horses in training, Sam Norris. But he is costly to follow.
Really expensive to follow. And he's just been a beaten Fav time and time again. It's just not a horse I would ever want to take 11 to 8.
I think he needs a fast run 2 miles.
I remember him at Nace. He jumped the first set day at Nace because he was a 3-year-old hurdler, of course. He flopped in the Triumph. First day he jumped in Nace, like, this lad is going to be, he's not that big, but he's very nimble. I think, Sam, 2.5 miles at Galway, absolutely not his thing. 2.5 for me is even probably too far for him. But your horse, Gordon Elliott, says he wants decent ground and he's not going to get that. So, I'm very interested in Afterdale Fury if there's any sort of support for him.
Yeah. What about the Sun Chariot Stakes then at Newmarket on Saturday, Sam? Anything catching money?
Yeah, Fallen Angel has finally worked her way to the top of the betting, which I think is right. I think she's probably the best miler in the fillies division anyway, in Europe. I think she's proved that at Leopardstown and Dovey the last twice. I think she's a better horse than Cinderella's Dream. My one worry with Fallen Angel is she did flop in the Guineas on the Rowley Mile last year. So back on the Rowley Mile, look, it's a small sample size. There might have been another reason. It might not have been the track in the Guineas last year, but that just niggles a little bit in the back of my mind. She's got to win on the July course, but I would be prepared to forgive her that the Guineas defeat, because I think she's a better horse than Cinderella's Dream, who I do hope runs well. Obviously, I fancy the pre-Romanée winner in the Arc on Sunday. Cinderella's Dream was fourth behind that one, so she could boost the form. She's won on the Rowley Mile. Lady of Spain's fascinating, stepping up 5 from 5, comes into Group 1 company for the first time. Fascinated to see how she goes. Probably haven't hit her ceiling as of yet, but yeah, Fallen Angel more popular than Cinderella's Dream.
Johnny Wars, Charlie Beth this week on the Racing Pod. Johnny got €50 to spend, 25 each way or 50 on the nose. Be sensible.
Well, what's sensible? Is sensible tipping a short price or?
Sensible is obviously winning money for the charity and then maybe going each way on a horse over 5 to 1.
I'm going to do the latter, right? So I'm going to go, I just, for some reason, I went down the rabbit hole of the Darley Irish EBF Bridget's Pasture Stakes listed race for filly and mares at the Curra.
This is time and day.
Just so, this is the 2:17 tomorrow at the Curra, because we have the Curra tomorrow. This is so weak. I actually cannot get over that Smiling is 7-4 favourite. She was rated 72 when she won at Down Royal last time, and she's now gone up to 85. If she's a 7-4 favourite, and it's only William Hill and two others have a price up, 7-4, Blinkers for the first time. I just cannot see what she has done to make her anything like that short. And the second favourite, Sparkling Sea, is rated 92, but has finished pretty much near last and first her last three runs. So I'm looking for an angle, and I'm looking for something that will appreciate an ease in the ground. Don't laugh at me, but Gazelle Dor, 25-1 under the evergreen N.G. McCullough, winner of the big race at the Curra on Sunday, beat Kendall Roy in a hot handicap over the course and distance last week under Chris Hayes before Niall got off the couch and won the spare. Has really solid form. I just feel on the ground she can outrun her odds. She's rated 89. The favourite is rated 85.
The charity bet for this week's Racing Pod, 2:17 at the Curra on Saturday. Number 10, Gazelle Dor, 25-1, 25 each way for Johnny Ward on the Racing Pod. So, Johnny,
I need to apologise. William Hill doesn't have this race priced up yet, so it's 25-1 across. That'll be a sort of a general price.
Well, give me the 25s, I'm sure, for the charity.
Of course the William Hill odds compilers would not make Smiling a 7-4 favourite when she should be about fours.
Okay.
So there we go.
Gazelle Dore each way, Johnny's charity bet this week on the Racing Pod.
Always smiling.
Sam Norris, thank you.
Thanks, guys. Cheers.
Johnny Ward, thank you so much.
Cheers, JD. Have a good weekend and enjoy the masses of racing opportunities. It's fantastic. When the weather is bad and it's not great tomorrow, you can sit in, chill out, watch some brilliant racing.
Remember, folks, the full Off the Ball Racing Pod is now free wherever you get your pods. That was episode 96. We look forward to speaking to you next Friday. Chat then.
The Racing Pod
on Off the Ball
with William Hill, 18+. See gamblingcare.ie.